Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
This morning, I really want to arrest your attention for the next, 22 and a half minutes thereabouts, if I may. And when I looked up, I'm not sure if anyone here has been arrested. No, don't put your hand up. Actually, we don't want to know. But when you think of being arrested, it's to seize a person by legal authority or warrant, take into custody, to catch and hold, attract and fix, engage, to check the course of, to stop, to slow down, means to arrest. This morning, I know it's Sunday and all, but I want to arrest your thinking. I pray every thought in this room would be held captive, not by what I've got to say, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, so you would hear what God is wanting you to hear today, so that we'd leave this place going, God spoke to me today. Is anyone up for that? Because if you don't want that, it's not going to happen. We know that God is a gentleman, and so unless you actually open your heart, open your mind to God speaking to you today, he's not going to force himself upon you in that sense. So I just pray that we'd be open. So, my authority this morning is nothing of my own. It's the authority of the Word of God. It's the authority of Scripture. So if I'm going to take legal authority, it's under the authority of the Holy Spirit and His Word. So this morning, just calling all thoughts and random things, the thing that you were thinking about a minute ago, you're not going to get distracted by that. You're going to actually just hone in and focus on saying, God, what is it that you want? I want my attention arrested. Let's pray. Father, this morning, this is no ordinary day. What you're stirring in the life of our church, Father, you have already preordained and predestined to be no ordinary thing. You don't want us to be an ordinary church. Father, you are not an ordinary God. Father, I pray that we would just allow you to speak to us this morning, no matter whether we believe in you or not, that we'd sort of even take that bold step this morning and say, God, whatever it is that you want to say to me today, I'm listening. In Jesus' name, amen. On Anzac Day, just during the week, over the long weekend, got to hang out with the family. We went for a walk along the beach just down at Mentone. It was just, you remember the day, it was just beautiful. It was just so nice. We were just walking the dog and just cruising along. And, it was sort of like April, sort of saw a few little starfish in the shallows and, there's a few sandbanks and stuff. You could walk out quite far. And then coming back into one particular spot, there was just some of those little fish. I have no idea. To be honest, I'm not a fisherman. I think fishing is boring. It's like if I'm near the water, I'd rather be surfing or swimming or jumping off a height into the water. If you're a fisher person, more power to you, but it's not my thing unless it's a charter boat and you're guaranteed fish. Is anyone else with me? It's like the only time you want to go fishing is when you know you're going to catch something. It's like, seriously, why would you? Anyway, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to offend people. But like as those little fish, does anyone know what they're called? No, the little ones that swim around in the shallows? Bait fish, let's call it that. They were swimming around because the tide was on the way out. There was some that had kind of like swum up onto the sandbank and were just sort of flapping around and whatever. And I said, April, let's grab them. And she said, Dad, you grab them. So I sort of grabbed them. We just threw them back out. And it just the whole fishing thing kind of like it's the analogies in the Bible and the typology in the Bible, if you like, is that fishermen, fisherwomen likened to the church. And fish are likened to those people in the world that haven't yet experienced God's incredible, amazing, brilliant grace and love and forgiveness. So there is this kind of this picture in Scripture that we see. And Jesus taught along those lines on a number of occasions. And, just during the week, I saw this particular article. Has anyone ever heard that phrase, raining cats and dogs? Has anyone ever, and if you've seen this clip, you'll know, but has anyone ever heard about raining fish? You've heard about that, right? Well, apparently in the outback of Australia, there's a place, Ludjimanoo, which is 557 kilometres from Katherine, 897 kilometres from Darwin. So it's inland, well away from the coast and things. But the people in this township, which is about 669 people, have stated that one particular day, bright sunny day, but then as it does, a storm comes blowing in, a pretty ferocious storm, and it starts to rain, but not just water, rains fish from the sky. And they're nowhere near the ocean, like there's no significant rivers or that kind of thing close enough by, and the amount of fish that fell from the sky that day was... Some of you are looking at me like, Phil, you're a preacher, you're not supposed to lie. I'm not lying to you. In fact, like, if you don't believe me, watch this, because this hopefully will maybe convince you a little bit.
February 26, 2010 is typical. In the height of the wet season, it's hot and humid. Suddenly, a storm erupts.
I was cooking tea and we had a heavy downpour of rain. It was really, really loud. I heard yelling and screaming. I hadn't experienced a storm like it before.
This is the area over here
where I witnessed the local Indigenous people catching what I thought was hail.
It's not hail. Hundreds of silver fish are strewn across the town. Eyewitnesses claim they came out of thin air.
There you go. Fish from the sky. Could you imagine that guy getting home from work? Hi, honey, I'm home. Dinner's on the table. It's hot in here tonight. Check it out yourself. I'm not lying. Apparently it's happened in other places, Thailand as well, where fish have fallen from the sky, where they say some kind of whirlwind or tornado occurred out over the ocean and sucked up the fish, and in some cases they were frozen, being up so high, but coming overland gets a point where the clouds condense so much that they fall from the sky and there's fish from the sky. I mean, that is pretty remarkable, don't you think? You know, one of the things I love about that is that we have an idea around how things should work, how God's going to provide, how situations are going to come to pass. But I want to say, no matter where you are at the moment, doesn't matter how isolated you think, you might think you're in a desert 500 kilometers from the ocean and thinking, God, how are you going to come through in this situation? If in the natural, fish can fall from the sky from over 500 kilometers away, what can our supernatural, amazing, incredible God do? So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. And I am going to read out of the King James today, or New King James, I should say. Because I think that this is a more accurate reflection of Luke's writings here. So Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. Turn to the person next to you and say, launch out into the deep. Turn to the other person and say, launch out into the deep. And let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Turn to the person next to you and say, nothing. Nothing. Nevertheless, or but at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net came close to breaking. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes that were taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from now on you shall catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What a remarkable story. What an incredible story. We have this picture coming out of the chapters previously. This is early on in Jesus' ministry. So we have Jesus' central figure in here. We have a large crowd pressing in to see him, for him to be able to teach, which at the end of chapter 4, we see Jesus tells us his primary reason for coming was that he may pronounce the coming of the kingdom of God. We know that his miracles happened and occurred to affirm his deity, that he truly was the Son of God. But it was about the message. It wasn't about the miracles that Jesus came. The miracles were always there to affirm. So when we have miracles happen in our lives, or we desire miracles to take place, they're not about us. They're about affirming who God is and to bring glory to him. So we've got Jesus, we've got Simon Peter, who we're told here that he's a fisherman. We've got James and John, who are also fishermen as well. They've got their own boat. And we don't know if they're business partners or partnering with Simon on this occasion. They obviously know each other and they're fishing. And then they have this interaction with Jesus. We also have some insight that these guys had come into contact with Jesus prior to this occasion. Simon's response here, Simon Peter's response firstly indicates that. But if you look through scripture, you know that Simon Peter was there present at Jesus' baptism. We know that he was there at the wedding of Cana. We know that he was there at different times. And in the chapter just previously, we see that Jesus actually heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. So Simon Peter knows about Jesus. We know that he had heard Jesus, he's seen Jesus. But this was the day that his relationship with Jesus took a whole new twist and turn that would change history. And so, you know, it's easy that we can know about God, we can know about Jesus, we can see some of Jesus maybe in the people that are in our life. If we start searching for Jesus, like we heard last week, we're called to be the gospel, practice the gospel, and proclaim the gospel, if necessary, use words. Maybe you've seen Jesus in people and you've heard about Jesus, but I want to say, today is your day for an eternity-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't have that personal relationship, because Simon Peter's life changed when he came into contact with Jesus. When you come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your world cannot but change if you're open to him changing it for the better. So Jesus tells Simon to do something that I want to focus on today. It's what you said to the people next to you. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Now, I reckon when Simon responds, I think there's probably some things that he was thinking and there's something that he says. I mean, we're talking about a seasoned fisherman here. I mean, I imagine some of the things that Simon Peter was thinking, he would have said, hey, you know, in his mind, he's probably having this little dialogue with himself. Hey, Jesus, like, we're good at what we do. We're fishermen. This is how we make a living. We know how to fish. We know when to fish. We fish at night. That's when we get the catches. We've done that all night. We've caught nothing, nada, zilch. And now Jesus, like, you're a really good preacher guy. You should stick to the preaching thing. But yet, like, in his mind, he's going through this, maybe this little dialogue. And he's maybe thinking to himself, Jesus, we have just done everything for the whole night. And now you're telling us to go back out into the deep and cast our nets again. It's like, I don't know how you kind of toil away at something and you don't get a result, or it doesn't, you just don't get a completion on a task or something. How frustrating that can be. But yet, what does Simon say? He says, yes, we've fished all night, but Jesus, Master, because you said, we will. It's like, but at your word, Lord, even though the natural circumstances tell me this, and I've done all that I can in my natural strength, like Andrew said this morning, where I finish is where God starts, because you said so, but even though it sounds ridiculous, Jesus, and all the other fishermen are going to laugh at us, they're already laughing at us because we've got no fish, and now we're going to go back out again, we're going to look like fools, but because you said, Jesus, I'm going to go. But even though we've worked hard and we've got nothing for it, we're going to go. We're going to launch out into the deep. We see that Simon Peter and these guys are obedient to Jesus' instructions. It's one thing to know the word of God. It's one thing to get a word from God. But the rubber's got to hit the road. There's got to be action. There's got to be obedience. And that's faith. That's faith. Trusting and being obedient even when it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Because if we know what the outcome is, that's not faith. Yeah. If we want to know that, yes, this is all going to work out just nicely, that's not faith. We see here that Simon Peter, actually, Jesus tells him to throw out your nets, plural. But here in the King James, actually, he throws out net. Now, because I don't know why, there could be a lot of different reasons for that. But we're told that they were cleaning their nets. Again, I'm not a fisherman, but when I started to look into how much time it takes to clean nets and to get nets all ready for the next opportunity, it takes a lot of time, and they've just spent a night with no fish, they're frustrated, they've cleaned all their nets, and now this Jesus guy is telling them to take them back out and do it all over again. It's like, I think sometimes we prefer everything to be nice, neat and tidy than actually have dirty nets that are full of fish. So even as a church, we want everything to be nicely kind of looking like this and feeling like that, and everything's got to look this particular way. But where's the fish? Why do we exist? If we're not growing, if we're not, and it's not about numbers, but if we're not catching fish, I'd rather have dirty nets and fish than a polished, slick looking net. Are you with me? And then we see this incredible miracle that happens. It's such a large catch. My thinking is, if they'd thrown out nets, plural, they would have caught even more fish. But they throw out a net to the point where it's starting to break. It's like Elijah with the oil. Says, you know, bring me all the jars that you've got. As long as the jars kept coming, the oil kept flowing. It's like, we've got to stop limiting God. We've got to stop limiting. When I look at this auditorium, I see it full. I'm preaching to a full auditorium this morning. I'm preaching to your brothers, I'm speaking to your mum and dad, I'm speaking to your work colleagues that don't and haven't experienced the love of Jesus Christ yet. I had a friend when I was doing physio, and when we talked about starting a church, she said, oh, you know, so what's the church going to look like? And I sort of shared a bit about what we wanted to be and stuff like that. And she goes, oh, so like, you know, how's it going to grow? And I said, well, look, you know, everyone's just going to be like, just God's going to be doing such amazing things in people's lives. They're not going to but help tell other people about it. People are going to come and they're going to want to know about this God that we're kind of in connection with. And she goes, oh, how big's it going to be? I go, I'm not really into numbers. She goes, oh, it can't be that hard to get a church to like 1,000. I went, I need you to come and talk to some people. And she's not even like, it's like we limit God. But look at the miracle of this catch is incredible, to the point where they've got to call, he's got to call the partners to come and get some of the fish. How cool is it going to be when we just go, hey, Kev at Ormond Anglican, hey, mate, we've got so many fish. Hey, what about Pastor Peter Loss at Carnegie Church of Christ? What about at Oak Tree, Mark Jury and Rowan Fairburn and those guys? We're going to ring up and say, hey guys, we've got so many fish. I think these fish are actually going to flourish and grow in your church. So, hey, can you help us out? Because we've got so many fish. It's not about Compass Church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about growing the Compass empire. It's about the kingdom of God. How cool is it going to be that we're actually the major contributor to other churches' growth? Not because people are leaving because they want to leave. It's because we're actually sending them there, if you get my drift. So they take one net, but that gets filled to overflowing. I love that. You know, I think at Compass, God is really stirring something just fresh and new. We're coming into a new season as a church that is just, as always is, it's God's timing in that is just really, really exciting. I think we're starting to touch on something in God that can't be stopped, and the gates of hell will not prevail against what God is wanting to. We're going to have opposition. We're going to have things that look like limitations, but God is opening our eyes and stirring our faith to launch out into the deep. You know, today our giving for Global Perspectives is that, you know, listen to this. We're actually giving to projects that pretty much have no direct benefit back to Compass Church, to make Compass Church known, because it's not about Compass Church. You think about the schools tour. We go and we actually support, and we go, we don't want Compass Community Care to be recognised. We want you guys who are there on a daily, weekly basis for you guys to get the kudos for us coming, and we want to build you guys up. We want to support you. You think about what we do in Malawi. It's not about Compass Church. It's about how do we build Restoration Pentecostal Church. It's like, how do we serve this state? How do we send, like sending Seth over to Indonesia? It's not about Compass Church. It's not about Compass Community Care. It's about the kingdom of God. So we're giving today to stuff that is so much bigger than just us. I'm excited about that. Today, I believe it's part of launching out into the deep, knowing with a deep conviction that with time, when the time comes, that God is going to miraculously open doors for us for what we need, as he always has. I can tell you story after story how we've come to where we are. And there will be people in this room and people that come that are going to be just so freaked out and amazed at what God does You know, through providing a building, for example, people just go, oh, how did that happen? There's going to be a bunch of people that have been on this journey for a while now where we'll be excited, we'll be hooting and hollering, we're going to be so incredibly stoked, but we're not necessarily going to be super surprised. Because we're just trying to do what God's called us to do and be what he's called us to be. You see, today I preach this knowing that we're giving to those things close to the Father's heart. Our global perspectives is at the heart of what God has called us to do and called us to be. We give to throw out our nets. We give to reach the harvest locally, statewide, nationally, and internationally. You see, when we put God's priorities first, miracles happen. When we put God's priorities first, miracles happen. If you run your business today and you're kind of like trying to work out, How do I see my business grow greater than what it is right now? Can I challenge you? If you've got a heart, the underlying heart motivation for that is to help reach out to the poor, help reach out and touch those that are brokenhearted, help to reach out with a focus on souls and the harvest that is before us. If you go, you know what, I want to see my turnover increase. I want the profit margins to increase in my business. If your heart motivation for that is to see the kingdom of God extended through that, finance is going to come your way. It's just how it works because it's at the heart of the Father. And if there's students in this room, you guys, you're kind of interested in kind of going into a career, whatever it may be, there is nothing wrong with actually having a heart to create wealth. But may your motivation always be that it's to see a harvest of souls. How can I help and assist the poor? How can I help those that are less fortunate than what we are? And if you keep that the underlying motivation for wealth creation, you watch how God will allow you to be a conduit for great finance. I want to challenge those that maybe have launched out in the past. You've launched out to the deep in the past. I want to encourage you, be bold, be courageous. Because he who was faithful in the past will be faithful again. And not to hold back. You see, I believe when we launch out into the deep today by faith, responding to where we're responding to what God's already called us to do. And it lines up with the priorities that are in God's heart. I believe that God's been challenging us as a church to launch out into the deep. To launch out into the deep. And that's scary. And that's big. And it's frightening. It's exhilarating. And it's kind of like scratch your head going, what the heck? You know, I've been encouraged to talk to certain people around what the appropriate step should be for us if we were to consider looking at a facility that could be purpose-built around or take on a facility and transform it into being a purpose-built facility that's going to service our community, also accommodate the church stuff that we want to do, but facilitate our community care stuff and to see that flourish and grow. Talking to the experts, really switched on smart people, having conversations with them, and I share my heart, and I say, look, this is just a very much an embryonic conversation we're having, and they go, well, you know, what's your budget? And I say, well, we don't have a budget. That's just, looks on their faces is good. I said, it's a conversation. And when I start to talk about, you know, what we're looking for and what I believe we need in God to fully impact, you know, like what I see with my eyes on their faces and their body language, what I hear the words of them saying, you know what they're saying? It's impossible. They're saying, Phil, do you understand market prices? Do you understand the real estate? Do you understand development and potential in this area? Do you know how much people are just wanting pockets and parcels of land so they can do this and do that? I say, yeah, absolutely, I'm aware of all of that. So, Phil, you know what? Forget about it. This is what I've been told. Forget about it. Go to an industrial state somewhere and park yourself in a warehouse. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not what God has called us to believe for. And so they go, Phil, it's impossible, it's ridiculous. And I go, so, you're telling me it's going to take a miracle for this to happen? And they just go, yeah, absolutely, laughing at me. I go, oh, that's awesome. It's a good thing I believe in miracles. And they just go, oh, yeah, you should, because that's like your job, isn't it? And I can't wait to be able to just go, hey, you said it was impossible, but where I stop, that's where God starts. And we've got a God of the impossible. And we're going to be sitting and we're going to be worshiping in a place that's going to be the answer to prayer, an answer to a group of people that just went, this is insane. We're going to step out into the deep. Makes no sense. It makes no sense. I believe in miracles. You see, I believe that God provides for those who actively pursue reaching the harvest. Those schools of fish that are swimming all around us within this community and surrounding areas that haven't experienced, as I've said, the wonder and the brilliance of God's grace yet. But I'm glad that we have a God who speaks, a God who calls us to launch out into the deep. So today, if you want to come on some kind of crazy wild ride, it makes no sense kind of ride, a ride that's kind of very much raw faith and trust in a God that can fill the net miraculously, fill beyond what we can even handle. If you want to hold fast and fast and pray with us and listen and obey and trust God in new ways, and if you want to allow your faith, our faith together to take us to places we've never been before, you're in the right place. You see, I look at people in this room and you've got a level of spiritual maturity. You've got, like, I'm preaching today and you just go, oh, here's one of those faith messages. Phil's on his high horse again and he's on his... May I challenge you? When was the last time your faith, if you haven't been a Christian for long, just shut your ears for a minute. But when, if you've been a Christian for, when did your faith take you to somewhere that you hadn't been before? When? I'm your pastor. I'm challenging you this morning. Because I love you. Because if you think you've experienced all that God's got for your life, your view of God must be like a pinhead in an ocean. Because God is wanting to take you, he's wanting to take us to places we've never been before in worship, in our life, in our experience, in our love, our revelation, our understanding of who he is, the wonder and awe of this incredible God. When did your faith take you to somewhere that you've never been before? Do you think God can do it? If you think he can do it, he'll do it. I love that. So launching out into the deep is going to take you higher. It's going to help us leap and fly and soar. See, we have to be willing to respond to the call that God is issuing to us. If you want to go to that place, if you want to launch out and go to that place that's new and unknown, and the great thing about that is it's just so uncertain. This is what we know. We're comfortable with this. But I'm letting you know, church, this is not where we're staying. I love you too much for us to stay here. There is so much more that God has got for us that he's wanting us to experience in him and that our community needs. Our comfortability cannot limit the conviction that God's got upon our hearts to reach this community, to reach this city. We have to be willing to launch out into the deep. For some of us, maybe it's kind of like you go, well, that's all good and well, Phil, but I feel like I've been toiling all night and not getting an answer, not getting a result, thinking that our hard work, my efforts so far to this point haven't had an effect or an impact. You know, the thing I love about Jesus, he didn't rebuke the disciples for working hard. He didn't rebuke them for what they had done. He just said, hey, just be obedient to my word. Just to be, you know, there is a lot of stuff that I've prayed for and believed for and hasn't come to pass. And let's be honest, I mean, if you've been a Christian for a while, there's stuff that you've prayed for and it hasn't come to pass. But I refuse to let those things limit my belief of what God can do in the future. Some of us might feel like we've been in a desert. Some of us feel like we've failed in the past, made mistakes. Maybe some of us think that we've kind of missed it. We can't live free anymore or live free again like I once used to. But today, Jesus is saying as fresh. He's shouting it out, not just whispering. He's shouting it out. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Trust in me again. Believe in me again. Have faith in me. You know what? I think that sometimes it's just safer to stay on the seashore. It's just easier. I can go in a certain depth, and if I get kind of like a little bit nervous, I can just run back onto the shore. We can see the bottom. We can see what's around our feet. Yeah, sure, we might get to see a little starfish or a small hermit shell crab or something as uninteresting as that, just there in the shallows. But the miracle catch, the net-breaking catch and the bigness is out in the deep. It's out in the deep. Are you willing to launch out into the deep? Willing to just go, God, I'm just trusting you at your word. Yeah. And as a church, that's what I believe God's calling us to. Launch out into the deep. Yeah. My last story this morning as we close involves fish. And I love the way Jensen Franklin frames this. He's a great preacher. If you don't know who he is, he's worth listening to. It's about the five loaves, two fishes, a little boy that brought up, and there's 5,000 people plus women and children, could have been up to 15, 18,000 people. So if you've got five plus two, what does that equal? All right, I went to South Australia and I still know that. School in South Australia, sorry. So maybe I went to South Australia. That just says it all, doesn't it? That's funny. I went to school in South Australia. Whatever. Anyway, we've got five plus two is seven. Maybe we could feed 7, 10 dozen people with that. I don't know. But you know what five plus two in Jesus' hands equals? We know at least 5,000, potentially 15,000 to 18,000. And the cool thing is, I love how God works in multiplication, because there's actually 12 left over. That's the kind of God we have. 5 plus 2 equals 5,000 at a minimum, plus 12 left over. Whose math works like that? I would have failed if I tried to put that down in my kind of integral calculus exam. I love the idea that when we put a little into God's hand, what he can do with that. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Come on, if anyone here is over 40, seriously, don't you think life is too short not to have a crack? Because like, if you're under 30, you probably think that you're going to, you know, oh, I've got heaps of time. But if you're over 40, come on, life is too short not to launch out into the deep. Who wants to get to 50 or 60? What's that like, Paul? Who wants to? And I know this guy does not think this. I know he doesn't think this. Thinking, maybe I shoulda. Maybe I coulda. What if? I'd rather say, why not? Now, why not launch out into the deep and trust God? It's never too late. Even when you're like 80. Well, no, God said to Joshua when he was 80, there is still much more land for you to take. So if you're anywhere near 80, there's still a lot more for you to do. Five plus two equals 5,000 plus, 12 left over. So I'm not going to let the disappointments of the past limit what I believe God is calling us for our future. If he's calling us out to the deep, it makes no sense. We've got to do it. We're going to do it. This morning, Andrew, I'll just ask Andrew to come. And to be honest, a lot of this message this morning has come out of a song. And Nat will certainly attest to this, that I can get a little bit stuck on songs. When something just, yes. When you know, a song just keeps playing over and over and over, and it just, for about 2 months I've been listening to this song, and there's a lot in it that's obviously impacted this message today. But I just want you to sit, and if you're able to, you might want to just close your eyes and just listen to the words of this song. This is just to, before we give today, I'd love for you just to listen and allow God to minister to your heart. Thanks, Andrew.
Sometimes we feel a little longer than we should. Letting go can be hard, but it's sometimes for our good. The fear of what's ahead sometimes makes us fall behind. We can see the times are changing, but pretend that we're so blind. You never really know just what the future holds, but we know God holds us in his hand. So by faith, we must climb into the boat and follow His command. Launch out into the deep. Let your faith take you somewhere that you've never been before. Launch out into the deep. Let your faith make you fly. Let your faith make you soar. Launch out, launch out into the deep. It's time to wake up and make our dreams come true. Time is always moving, and it will not wait for you. The fear inside your mind can quench the fire in your heart. Sometimes where you end is where God wants to start. It's never easy when you're walking out by faith. Everything seems so different than you. But if we only learn to see with eyes of faith, we'll see life in a different view. Launch out into the deep. Let your faith take you somewhere you've never been before. Launch out into the deep. Let your faith make you fly. Let your faith make you soar. Launch out. Launch out. So much for you awaiting. So stop your procrastinating. Close your eyes, just take a deal. Launch out into the. Let your faith take you somewhere that you've never been. Oh, let your faith make you fly. Let your faith make you soar. Launch out, launch out.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the one who speaks to us today. You're a God who is not silent. Father, you have spoken to us as a church to believe for big things, to trust you, that where we end, Father, you begin. And Father, this morning, as we come to a time of giving to the Global Perspectives area, that Father, thank you that we're giving, Lord, to things that are priorities in your heart. It's not about Compass Church. It's not about any individual. It's all about Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we give this morning, I thank you that people have been praying and been seeking you in regards to how they should give. And I just pray as a church as a whole, within what we're able to do that would be launching out into the deep. Giving is just one area that we can do that. So many other areas that we can do that in our lives, but practically this morning as we give. Father, we just want to commit this offering to you. I just thank you for the great work. All that we have done, you have accomplished for us. It's not us, it's you, Lord. But by your grace, but by your guidance, your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, that 5, 10, 20 years from now, some of us in this room that will still be serving you here at Compass will scratch our maybe semi-bald or bald heads and just go, how the heck did that happen? And it can only be you. That's what the answer will be. It has always been you, God, and it will always be you, and we'll give you all the glory and the praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Simon Peter knew about Jesus here, yet on this particular day he saw a miracle, and so did all the other people on the shore when they came back with so many fish in the boats. People were just amazed. Wow, this Jesus, he's pretty amazing. And Jesus said those words to Simon Peter, James and John, hey, come follow me. They literally pulled up their boats on the shore and they left them there, dropped everything and just started to follow Jesus. And that's the impact that Jesus made. And that's the impact Jesus is still making. And he calls you today. He says, come, follow me. I want to forgive you. I want to come into relationship with you. I want you to come on this faith journey with me, where I promise life and life to the full and to be with you every step of the way through good and hard times. If you don't have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, he gave his life for you and for me. If that's you today and you say, Phil, I want my own personal relationship with God. I want to hear God's voice when he says, launch out into the deep. That exhilarating, scary faith life. If that's you today, so no one's looking around. I'd love to pray with you after this service. We're almost done. I'd love to pray with you after this service. But today's your day. If that's you, could you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you after today, after this service. Go, that's me, Phil. Love to do that. Is there anyone here today? Say, yeah. Thank you. God bless. Yeah, you can put your hand down. Is there anyone else today? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.